It's a blessing to be here, and yeah, our family is up here. My wife, Katie, is a Gilbertson, so we love being up on the island, and it is a blessing to be here this morning, to be able to bring the message. I am a pastor at a church in Columbus, Indiana, which is about an hour south of Indianapolis. We've been there it'll be 4 years this summer. And God, it's always fun to see God work in the midst of wherever you go, wherever you're placed, whatever it is we do. I don't know about for you, but it's fun to see God move in the midst of it and remind you that that's exactly where you're supposed to be. We have five wonderful and crazy children. Our six-year-old Darren, our four-year-old Edith, and we have three one-and-a-half-year-old triplets, Oliver, Austin, and Hazel. It's never dull, let me tell you that. There is never a dull moment in my house. If I sit for too long, someone is doing something they shouldn't, I guarantee it. But it is a joy to be here with you this morning. Let me open us in prayer before we dig into our message. Lord, I just come. I thank you that you are moving in the midst of this church. We know your Holy Spirit is with us, O Lord. You've guaranteed that for us from the moment Jesus left and the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost. And this morning, we just ask that you would move within us, remind us of who you are and what you're calling us to this morning. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we praise you. In your son's name, amen. So I grew up, I am American, I'm not Canadian, but I grew up just outside of Detroit, Michigan, in a little town called Melvindale. And we grew up on this block where our neighbors were really close. We all did things for each other, we helped each other out, we had good relationships with each other. And one of our neighbors across the street, her name was Lisa. One weekend, she was going camping with her two kids, and she asked if we could take care of her dogs while she was gone. We said, of course we would. It was no problem at all. And one of the benefits of helping this specific neighbor is that she had a pool. And it was the hot summer months, and we got to go into the pool whenever we wanted while we were watching the dogs. And I went over. It was a hot weekend. Went over to the house, took care of the dogs, and I was ready to jump in the pool. Didn't think much after I had taken care of the dogs and jumped right in the pool. Swimming around for a few minutes, and as I'm going, my hand touches my pants pocket, and I realize my heart sinks. I went swimming with my phone. And this is not one of our smartphones that we have today that can survive potentially a little swim. No, this was an old flip phone that couldn't survive a raindrop. And I immediately jumped out of the pool, dried my phone off. I ran home. I'm trying everything I can to make this phone survive. We put it in rice. We stick it in the freezer, all the things. But as I suspected, the minute my hand touched my phone, it was broken. None of us like the feeling when knowing something we care about, something we want, is broken. Broken is that feeling that we just don't like. We don't like knowing something is broken. It doesn't matter if it's our phone, our car, our toy, our hearts, ourselves. That feeling of brokenness is not something we desire. The problem is we live in a broken world that is full of broken things and even broken people. Our world, we read in Scripture that our world is broken by sin. Sin came in and broke the perfect world that God wanted for us and that we're told he's bringing again. But sin came in Genesis and caused brokenness. Caused a brokenness that none of us want or desire. all of us are broken in one way or another. And all of us have seen brokenness firsthand. That can be brokenness of depression, addiction, anger, broken marriages, relationships, and so much more. We may not like to admit it, but in one way or another, every one of us in this room are broken. I am broken. I don't like to admit that, but I am broken. But the amazing thing about the God we serve, the brokenness that we experience, that we could so easily let define us, let us be defined by an addiction, by our depression, by our loss, that is not how we are defined. We are defined, we have the ability to be defined by God's healing power within us. We have the ability to be defined by the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter how big and ugly and scary our brokenness may feel to us, it is not what has to define us. Jesus came so that brokenness is not the end. Jesus, when he came, one of the things we celebrate at Christmas, we always say, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came so that he could experience our brokenness. Jesus came so that he could see and feel the brokenness that we experience. Sure, contextually, it may look and feel a little bit different than what he experienced 2,000 years ago. But he still experienced addiction, depression, broken families, physical illness around every corner, brokenness of every sense. Jesus experienced it just like we do. And he came so that we can receive healing for our brokenness. Now, all of us can receive brokenness or can receive healing for the brokenness we have. But we need to understand just a little bit more clearly before we keep going, how do we really define brokenness? Some of us may think that brokenness is this thing we'll automatically know and recognize when we see it. We should see it within ourselves. We should know what to do. I'll tell you, it's probably not that cut and dry. It's not probably not that simple. I love this word on the meaning and definition of brokenness that a pastor by the name of John Perkins wrote in his book, One Blood. And I have it on the slide up here. He writes this. He says, brokenness is the opposite of pride. It is the willingness to admit our faults without concern for our reputation. It is the willingness to lay down our rights and do whatever benefits the other. It is putting the needs of the other above our own. Healing from our brokenness, whatever it may be, requires us to be willing to let go of ourselves, to let go of our pride, and recognize that we are broken. And also, take action about it. Without a level of recognition of our brokenness, and without the willingness to act about it, we will never really receive the healing that Jesus desires for us. Now, some could easily be thinking, we should automatically know brokenness. We should automatically see it. We should know when there's something within us that's broken. We should see others' brokenness. It should just be this cut and dry type of thing. In some situations, I think you'd be right if that's what you're thinking. But in other situations, I don't think it's quite that simple. Take this simple example. I have some family that will send my kids toys throughout the year. And this, my family, my grandma and my aunt, are incredibly loving, wonderful people. But these toys, 10 times out of 10, are from junk stores. They're previously used toys, and they likely aren't perfectly new. They have their own broken pieces to them. But you know the thing about it? My kids don't realize they're broken. To them, they're brand new toys that come in the mail that don't have anything wrong. They don't recognize the brokenness, at least not at first. That can be true for us. We don't always recognize our brokenness. Maybe we've grown up in a family where anger and passive aggressiveness and frustration is never voiced. We don't see anything wrong with it. We don't see how hatred and anger can be this level of brokenness, so we don't recognize our own brokenness. Or maybe we've lived so long with our addiction, whatever it may be, we no longer see it as a problem. We can't recognize our brokenness anymore. Brokenness is something we need to have recognition for. There's a really good example found in the book of Matthew. In chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, it's the story where a rich young man comes to Jesus and he says he wants to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he asks, what do I do? Jesus says, follow the commandments, but the young man says, I have done this. What else shall I do? Jesus then says this. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. We read in Matthew after this verse that the young man became sad. And we're told it's because he had a lot of wealth. If you actually look at it, he had brokenness of depending on himself, on his own wealth, to take care of himself. He didn't want to give up, recognize his own brokenness, to depend on Jesus over himself. I feel like that's a brokenness a lot of us can have. We're unwilling to recognize we have to let go of some stuff for Jesus to really work within our hearts. His brokenness was this love of money and this faith that he could depend on himself instead of God. He was unwilling to recognize his brokenness, and that's what made him sad. If we want to experience the healing that God can give us, we have to be willing to recognize our own brokenness. Now, recognition isn't the end, though. Recognition isn't where we stop. The next part is that there needs to be action behind our recognition. Pastor Perkins shared this in his definition of brokenness, and Jesus paints this picture as well. He tells the young man the action that he needs to take is to sell all of his belongings and follow him. But he's not willing to take that action. There's another really good example of someone else who seeks Jesus. And this is found in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. This is a really short number of verses, but it's an incredibly powerful story of a woman who had been broken, had this physical brokenness, this physical pain for 12 years that she had been carrying around. She had tried everything under the sun to try and get healthy, to try and receive healing. Nothing worked. And she heard of this Jesus guy. And she said, I think he can heal me. She went into the streets where Jesus was. He was traveling to someone else's house to heal a little girl. And she came up behind him and touched his cloak. And in that moment, she was healed. This brokenness of 12 years had been healed because she took a step of faith. She took action and reached out and touched him. Now we're told in this passage that as Jesus is walking down the street, going to this other gentleman's house, people are all around him. People are touching him every which corner. It's like if we were all up on this stage, you wouldn't really know who touched you because there's so many people up here. But Jesus, the minute he was touched by this woman, he stopped and he said, "Someone has touched me." His disciples look at him, and I can only imagine the look. They're probably thinking, "Oh, here he goes again. Here goes this Jesus guy. He's trying to stop everything because he thinks he knows it all." And they're like, "Jesus, there's tons of people around you. Anyone could have touched you." And he says, "No. The person who touched me with faith. Touched me with willingness to recognize their brokenness and take action to follow me." And the woman, she heard him looking for whoever had touched her. She falls at his feet, trembling, and tells him everything. She's probably scared. She has no idea. She doesn't even fully understand what has just happened, this healing that's taken place within her. And the words of Jesus are amazing. They're just a few short words, but he says this: "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." When we have faith that Jesus can heal whatever we are going through, and we are willing to follow him above all else, we can receive healing. Jesus wants us to experience the healing that he can offer. But it's not just going to happen. We have to be willing to recognize our brokenness and put the effort into following him, put action behind our recognition. We also have to recognize it might not happen overnight. Might not happen with the snap of our fingers. And as humans today, that's something we wrestle with. We want things instantaneously. Our phone can tell us whatever's happening across the world in seconds. We can learn of news of something. We can receive something very quickly. But Jesus' healing doesn't always happen with the speed at which we want it to. And it takes effort. It was effort that the young man wasn't willing to give. He didn't want to sell everything and let go of his safety net. But the woman was willing to wait the 12 years. She didn't want to. She didn't want to be sick that whole time. But she waited, and then she took that step of faith to follow Jesus. Healing can happen when we're willing to recognize our brokenness and take the action to follow Jesus. Now, let me be clear about something. Oftentimes when we think about healing for our brokenness, and any one of us could name a brokenness we have that we want Jesus to heal, one of the struggles we can have is we may expect or think Jesus should heal our brokenness in this specific way. He should do what we're asking of him in this specific way or in this specific timing. But the thing I've learned, Jesus doesn't match our expectations. He takes our expectations, he throws them out the window, and he says, follow me, and you'll receive healing that's better than what you would think. It won't happen the way you expect it to. It won't happen the way you want it to necessarily. Probably not even when. But healing can happen. But if we hold on to our expectations, if we hold on to what we expect healing to look like, it's very possible we're going to walk right by the healing that Jesus wants to give us. Because it's not about us. It's about what Jesus wants to do within us and through us. When that healing happens, friends, it's amazing what God can do. And it has nothing to do with you or me, and everything to do with Him. The whole reason we can receive healing is because Jesus came to be like us. He came to live like us. And after he had experienced brokenness, he willingly gave up his own life, sacrificed his life for the forgiveness of our sins. And this morning, as a church, we get the opportunity to celebrate Jesus' life and his sacrifice and his resurrection by partaking in the communion together. Communion